This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, December 28, 2022, The Feast of the Holy Innocents, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The time an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there till I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him."
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This is one of the most pointed feast days of the year, as far as I am concerned. The death of a child, is usually as a result of sickness or some kind of a trauma. But to think that there was a time when, on purpose, many children were killed, and you look at it, you think to yourself, why? As we get into this whole theodicy thing about if God was really good, he wouldn't let this happen. Well, as a matter of fact, that scripture passage says that happened in part, and I quote, that it might be fulfilled, which the Lord spake by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. He calls his son out of Egypt. Why did he go to Egypt? There was really not many reasons why a family would get up in the midst of the night and take this perilous, tremendously dangerous journey with a baby for no other reason than an angel came and told Joseph to do so, to fulfill a prophecy, to say that his son was brought out of Egypt. This direct quote from Hosea 11:1. So there had been this quote from the prophet since way before time. And we see how God brings it to fulfillment. And I know I can, but we can't understand, most of us, I'm sure, how that can happen. Wasn't there another way that God could have got his son into Egypt and without the death of children? Obviously not, because there was a better way to do it. He would have done it that way. But we are who we are, and he is who he is. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But it doesn't make you for one moment lose the heartrending nature of what went on in this incident. We look at these little ones between 1 and 2 years old. In the Roman Breviary this morning, in the offices of the morning, it calls the Holy Innocents the church's first blossoms. I get this picture of, you know, there are some plants that, you know, after the first frost goes away, you know, before, you know, it's still wintertime, but the first frost, you get that little warm spit. If those of you who've lived up north, you get this little warm spit that will, you know, it lasts for a few days. And all that, there's these cute little flowers that spring up everywhere like that. And then it gets cold again and they die. This is what the breviaries talk about. These are the church's first blossoms. St. Augustine says, referring to that specific breviary statement, that these little ones matured by the frosts of persecution during the cold winter of unbelief. Talked about on Christmas Day, our Lord was born at night. You know, the emphasis is on the darkness of the world and the sin, cursed, and fallen nature. And our Lord is that light that shines in that darkness, that penetrates the darkness, that splits it in half. It was a time of, as St. Augustine says, a cold winter of unbelief up to the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to stop here for a second. And I want to let you, oh man, it must have been so horrible to live back in those days. The savagery of a king like Herod, how merciless What an absolute, there's not enough adjectives to disparage him for what he did. It's really kind of interesting. St. Augustine said it was nurtured by the frost of persecution during the cold winter of unbelief. Herod did what he did because he believed. Herod believed. Herod, as soon as the wise men came to him and said, "Hey, we saw the child star in the east," King Herod called the priests and the scribes, and all the leaders who knew everything about things like that, all his scholars. He didn't say, "Hey, what's this deal about a star? Well, you know, what is it?" He said, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" He specifically asked for the Messiah. And when they told him, he believed. He believed what the scholars and the theologians told him. He believed the scriptures. He believed that the Messiah was going to come right then and there, as did many of the Jews, because they knew the book of Daniel, and the book of Daniel spoke of the time when our Lord Jesus Christ was going to come into the world, and it was then. Herod believed. Herod believed, and then because of his savage jealousy over his kingdom, and that someone may be on the earth now that would call his leadership into question, his jealousy, his rank monstrous jealousy, had him give an edict that children between a certain age were to be killed. He actually limited it. Go out there and kill every child between the age of infancy and 2 years old. So he put a limit on his savagery. And we look at that day and go, how despicable. How could that happen? Look at our day. Look at our day. Herod believed. Our world is loaded with kings, presidents, rulers, parliaments, who don't believe. Herod had belief going for him. They don't believe. And because they don't believe, there is no limit to their savagery. It's called abortion. You got leaders in the world, kings now calling that abortion is a human right. A human right to savagely kill without limit. Without limit. Yeah, wouldn't it be horrible enough if you, okay, ladies, you got one abortion to your credit. No more than that. Anything more than that would be, we would think that was abominable. But there is no limit. These people are savages in business suits. Herod's better than them. Herod was better than them. At least he believed and he put a limit on his savagery. They don't. These are the times in which we live. This is a reality of our times. It is dark. It is very dark. For those of us who know the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have something going for us, but the world is still a very, very dark place. When Joseph was in a dream told by an angel to flee into Egypt, it specifically says that they left in the night. I always say, things aren't in scripture by accident. Want us to know something. They take up their household and they move to Egypt. How much could that have been with the three of them? And it's dark. It's not. It's interesting. When they come back from Egypt, it doesn't say anything about darkness. It doesn't say anything about that part of it. So when they come back, the light is starting to dawn on the people of Israel. These are the things we need to pay attention to in scripture. You know, because when we look at the Holy Innocents, as horrendous from a temporal standpoint as it is, you look at these children who are the martyrs of the Holy Church. And another thing that the breviary says is that they cry out to you every day, Lord. We remember them on December 28th every year. On December 28th, we think of the Holy Innocents. And occasionally I'll think of them, you know, in like a martyr's day when I'm kind of thinking about all the martyrs that have ever died and all this kind of, and the holy innocents will come up occasionally. But let us never say they and every other martyr that's ever shed their blood for our Lord Jesus Christ, cry out to him every single day, every single day. And we know from Scripture, Revelation chapter 6, that their prayers aren't, Lord, be gracious and merciful on the people down there. And what do they say? Every single day from under the altar of God before his throne, they cry out with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, does that now judge and revenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Notice they don't say, those of them who killed us, those of them who dwell on the earth, those ones who are happy to be in darkness, those ones who support the savagery that we have in our day and age. How long, O Lord, dost thou not judge and revenge our blood on them? We say in our creed every single time we come to Mass, when the creed is read, from thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Let us never forget that part of that judgment is revenge. God's revenge. The Lamb has come. The Lion of Judah is coming. Read 2 Thessalonians. I'm always saying, you don't want to be, and people, I want to be, Jesus needs to come back. And you don't want to be anywhere around when Jesus comes back the next time. Read 2 Thessalonians. It describes what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back, and it is replete with revenge. He's going to revenge these souls. He is a loving and gracious God, and he loves and is gracious to those little babies who were killed by Herod, and he is going to be gracious and recompense those little ones who are savagely killed today. This is the reality of things. This is their prayers. They cry out to him every day, every single day. These little ones, they confessed. Usually think of confessors as somebody who has proclaimed God's word and gospel, and indeed they are. These little ones confessed by, they didn't confess by speaking, they confessed by dying. It's all the martyrs. They confessed by their dying. They couldn't speak yet, but they gave a confession by their dying. They proclaimed by their deeds. You know, this is why I'm always saying, yeah, talk to your neighbors, spread the gospel, evangelize people and things like that. Your words are what communicates the truths of God. But these are the truths of God. These are the ones that people like to turn their back on nowadays. And they don't like, oh, that's controversial. There is not one thing controversial, not one thing. There is no element, no aspect that makes discussing the savagery of our day controversial. I mean, controversial for pagans, but not for us. This is the truths of God. You know, the post-communion prayer that is said after Mass today, of course in Latin, but the translation of it in part is that these little ones may procure aid for us both in this life and in that life which is to come. They couldn't speak why they were here, but they're not little infants floating around heaven now. They are the perfect souls that they ever would have been. They have perfect infused knowledge of what they endured, and they have perfect infused knowledge of the evil down here. And they are there to not only cry out for God's vengeance, but also, we pray, to intercede for us. It's like, well, St. Ignatius or St. Francis who could talk. They can talk as well as they did. And they didn't have the baggage that St. Francis and St. Ignatius and all those other saints had, because they were taken out of this world because they could, before they could commit actual sin. And this is the reality of the holy innocents. This is the reality of truth of what's coming. This is a reality that we need to prepare ourselves for. We need to appeal to them. This isn't an indictment of any action of anybody in the past. This is an indictment of what's going on right here and now. Our faith is forward-looking.
God's grace and his mercy can forgive any sin, no matter how many times, no matter for how long, no matter what position we used to take politically, none of that. It's from right here and right now. But from right here and right now, we need to understand that we need to fix things as best we can. And the best, what can I do about it? You can pray about it. And if you're not, let's say, blessed with a tremendous amount of fortitude, you can do that in your own home, and it's efficacious. But standing in front of abortion mills and nagging your pastor if he won't do this, that, or the other thing for the cause, this is fighting that fight. And you can get all the help you need from the intercession of the little ones. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.